Hi, welcome to Speaking of Sex with the Pleasure Mechanics. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We are the Pleasure Mechanics, and on this podcast, we offer soulful and candid conversations about all facets of human sexuality. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Good Clean Love. Good Clean Love makes delicious, organic, personal lubricants and other sexual wellness products. And if you eat organic, why not make love organic? Go to goodcleanlove.com and use the code PLEASURE for 33% off your entire order. And we'll tell you more about Good Clean Love later on in the show. Remember, you can find a complete podcast archive at pleasuremechanics.com. And while you are there, follow the link to enroll for free in the Erotic Essentials. This is our free online course, our offering to you. It's a treasure trove of amazing resources that you can explore at your own pace. We used to call it a mini course, but there ain't nothing mini about this course anymore. It's a beautiful offering, and it is our gift to you. Go to pleasuremechanics.com and look for the link to Erotic Essentials. We'd love to have you on board. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about one of those topics that's not the sexiest topic in the world. It's not multiple orgasms or full body orgasms or kinky sex, but it is a foundation to a great sex life. It is one of those things that if you put this into practice, you're going to have a happier, healthier relationship for the long run, and you're actually going to want to have sex with your partner so you can have that beautiful orgasm, you can have that kinky sex because you actually like your partner. So we're going to talk about emotional generosity. This is the emotional foundation for a happy, healthy relationship, and we want to share some strategies with you on how to be more emotionally generous with one another to build a happier long-term relationship.
If it helps you feel more motivated to want to bring this into your relationship, think about it in the context of all-day foreplay, that you are finding ways to nourish, take care of, support, love your partner. That these are all actionable ways that you can show and express your love and care. And this is part of making your partner feel appreciated, seen, valued, so they're interested in having sex with you.
Right, because here's the thing. We can share all of our techniques for fabulous genital touch, anal touch, kinky sex. We can flood you with that information. But if your partner is not interested in having sex with you, if there's anger and resentment building up in your relationship, if you're drifting further and further apart, none of those techniques are going to help you. You want your partner to be on board with your relationship. You want your relationship to be a happy one that you're both feeling loved and supported in. That's the first step towards having a great sex life. So we thought we'd really talk about this topic, and especially now going into the holiday season, it's a time where a lot of us get a little bit more stressed out, which I think is so funny. It's like, the holidays, time to celebrate and pull your hair out. You know? Our culture puts so much expectation and busy schedules and burdens and financial stress like loaded into the holiday season that for a lot of people, it's one of the most stressful times of the year. You're dealing with extra family members, you're dealing with like parties, all of this stuff. So this is a time we could all use a little bit more emotional generosity. Okay, so what does emotional generosity mean? Let's break it down. So there are actually studies on this, and these are the funny things that we find. You know, it's the $1 million study on how to be nice to each other, and do we need a $1 million study to say that being kind to each other makes you happier in your relationship?
Apparently, yes.
Apparently, yes. So there are studies on this, and the operational definition of emotional generosity is first having empathy. So you think about what your partner is feeling, you tune into their feelings, you know what makes them feel good, you can tell when they feel sad, and you give a shit about what your partner is feeling. So that's the first part, is empathy. And then the next part is the giving spirit, the generosity. So giving emotional attention and love and care freely and abundantly without the expectation of a one-to-one return. So this isn't, hey, I took out the trash yesterday, so it's your turn today. That's not generosity. Generosity is this free giving, this abundance giving that is not expecting anything in return, and yet it usually turns into a positive feedback loop. So when one of you is more emotionally generous, usually that turns into both of you being more emotionally generous, so you both get the goodies.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
And that is essential.
Okay, so some people do eroticize fighting. I'm not totally sure how that works. In some cultures, for some people, having fights and calling each other names and yelling at one another is a sign of, like, passion and the volatile chemistry of your romance.
And then there's really hot makeup sex.
Yeah. I'm not sure how that works, especially in a family with kids around. Like, that's not really the energy we want to expose our kids to, right? So that's, we're just going to bypass that because that's not our style. And for most people, kindness and compassion and generosity are the bedrock of a happy home life, a happy relationship where you feel loved and safe and you want to be with your partner for the long haul, right? So that's what we're going for. And yet, part of this conversation also has to be about how do we take care of each other? How are we emotionally generous with one another? While also maintaining enough autonomy, enough independence, that there's enough room for eroticism to thrive, where you don't feel like you have to take care of your partner like you would a child.
Or a parent, or right. A sibling, or a roommate.
And we hear this sometimes. Women refer to their husband as like...
One of the boys.
One of the boys. Well, I've got 3 sons, but including my husband, I might as well have 4. That kind of attitude, or, you know, my wife is so needy that, you know, I spend all my time.
I like your man voice.
It's my dude voice. Come on. This idea that your partner is needy and clingy and dependent on you, therefore you have to take care of them, that's also not what we're going for.
And that is not sexy. And right. So you might want to figure out how you can shake that energetic pattern up if that is going on in your world.
This is about a give and a take, an emotional generosity that just is about, I love you, I care for you, therefore I'm going to do all of these little things day in and day out to make you a little bit happier, to make you feel taken care of, to make your life a little easier. And then in exchange, not reciprocal, but hopefully, you'll do the same for me and we'll support one another. It's about being together in the world as a team. And these little acts of emotional generosity add up. And so in this study, which was part of a University of Virginia professor's study on emotional generosity and marital generosity, what they studied were really simple, small acts of emotional generosity, such as bringing one another coffee in the morning, bringing small tokens of affection, things like bringing flowers home once in a while.
Bringing your favorite cookies home because you saw them and know that your partner likes them. So it's just like thinking of them, giving them a small back rub as you're walking by. Bringing them a sweater that if you think they might be cold. It's like these very tiny things that are really just saying, I see you, I care about you, I was thinking about you, and I thought you might like this.
Right.
It's not rocket science, but to practice it in your life daily makes a massive difference to the quality of your relationship and your happiness. We kind of have this happiness set point, I think, of in life, and taking on these small acts of emotional generosity just increases your set point of how happy you are in your life and together, and it makes a huge difference over the long term.
And I think what happens for a lot of relationships is early on in the dating process, you do a lot to be emotionally generous with one another. You're going out on dates, you're getting to know one another, and there's this heavy investment in getting to know one another and being there for each other and proving that you're a worthy partner. And then when you get into a commitment stage and a long-term relationship and domestic duties start piling up, we forget to invest that extra emotional time in one another. And what this episode is all about, it's an invitation to reinvest a little bit more time and energy and attention into your partner's daily emotional needs. And so one of the tools to look at this is the Gottmans, who are the kind of leading researchers into marital happiness. They have a love institute where they watch couples interact for days and study their little habits and do longitudinal studies where they look at couples over 25 years and predict who's going to stay together. So the Gottmans are kind of the experts on marital happiness. So one of their principles is that you need to do 5 positive things for every 1 negative thing. And this is the ratio they've come up with that will keep a couple happy. So it's not that you're never going to disappoint one another, you're never going to frustrate one another, you're never going to let one another down. That's bound to happen. But you need to counter that at a ratio of 5 to 1 with loving, positive, kind gestures.
Filling your love bank is another analogy that has been used.
Right. So think about those deposits in your love bank. And then when you make a withdrawal, there's enough there that you can forgive one another and move on. So if you want to operationalize it like this, start thinking about your days and what are 5 things you can do every day, or 10, you know, go big in case you really fuck it up later. Just start making those deposits, start accumulating that energy between you so that there's resilience, right? And this makes sense. These ratios can sometimes feel cold and clinical, but if you think about the friend that's always there for you, that never forgets to text on your birthday, that remembers when you're, you know, having a hard time and checks in with you, that shows up at your door with your favorite food, these people in our life that are there for us time and time again, when they mess up, it's much easier to forgive them and move on and know you still have a good, solid relationship under you. And when we're living with someone in the domestic space, maybe we're taking care of kids, we have extended family stress, there's shared financial stuff, there's so much more opportunity than in a friendship to stress one another out. And so we have to put extra effort in creating the positive moments and creating those loops of emotional generosity. So when there's a stressful moment, you feel like you're in it together and you have this foundation of all of this goodness under you. We talked a little bit about this in the episode, The Story of Us. Mm. Like, what is the ongoing narrative of your story? If your partner is someone that's just like always a burden and is always pissing you off and is always stressing you out, then like, why are you going to want to have sex with them? Why would you want to let them into your most interior space? Why would you want to relax and surrender into pleasure together? Like, that's not really a good formula. But if your partner is someone you can trust, someone you feel safe with, someone that cares for you, shows up for you,
pays attention to you,
that's a much better space to want to get cozy together and get sexy time going on. Sexy time. Okay, so another theory from the Gottmans say that the biggest determinant in staying together in a long-term relationship is this emotional landscape. When you are sitting down and talking to your partner, do you feel stressed out and under attack? Or do you feel relaxed and supported? And they actually will do like cortisol readings on people. They'll check your heart rate. So they measure this. How do you feel when you're talking to your partner about a big emotional topic? Does your body relax and say, yes, I am safe with this person? Or do you contract and feel like you're under attack? And you can start checking in with your own body about how you feel in your relationship. And not all is lost if you recognize that you are not in the most positive emotional place you can be. These things can be turned around and you can start the habit of emotional generosity and start that upward spiral. You start that positive feedback loop and it can build. And there are seasons for this too, right? And so if you recognize things have been stressful, I'm feeling distant from you. Charlotte loves the word connected. Mm. Sometimes I'll just be like, what is wrong? You feel like you're really not happy. And what will you say?
I just want to feel more connected. And you always make fun of me, but...
Well, to me, it's like we're in our day-to-day life. We're doing all these things together. We're working together. We're raising a kid. How much more connected can we be? But what you're speaking to is this emotional loop.
Yes, where I want you to see me as a person, as a being, not just your coworker and your co-parent. And
it's an invitation for us to slow down and remember this positive feedback loop and to start reinvesting in emotional generosity. So this is a practice. Just like yoga, just like meditation, just like exercise, all of these things that require commitment again and again and again to maintain as a lifestyle practice. We would like to take a pause and thank our sponsor, Good Clean Love, for helping to make this podcast episode possible. Recently on our Patreon community, someone asked about the best personal lubricant for oral sex. And by this, I thought they meant like a flavored lubricant, which can be nice if you want to include oral sex after some fingering or after a hand job and then moving into intercourse. You want a lubricant that tastes good. What I love about Good Clean Love is they're all organic. There's no chemicals that you don't want to put in your mouth. And they have one called Guilty Pleasures. It's a lubricant that's lightly scented with vanilla and cinnamon. And so instead of candy, it tastes like a freshly baked cookie. And vanilla is a scent that is an aphrodisiac, after all. I really love Good Clean Love's Guilty Pleasures if you want to incorporate it into sex that includes oral sex. And the benefit there is the moisture from your mouth will actually reactivate the lubricant and make it slicker for longer. And so if you want to go seamlessly from hand play to oral sex to intercourse and just keep the genitals slick and moist, using a nice organic lubricant can help you do that without having to clean up in the middle of sex. It's a product that can go in your genitals, in your mouth. It's totally organic, all natural, and so you can feel good about putting it everywhere and anywhere. So go check out the organic personal lubricants from Good Clean Love at goodcleanlove.com and use the code PLEASURE for 33% off your entire order. They're hooking us up, and thank you so much to Good Clean Love for helping to make this podcast possible. Okay, so another theory from the Gottmans that I found really useful is the idea of emotional bids. So what they have identified is that we all make emotional bids towards one another. So think of it this way. You're sitting in the living room, the kids are asleep, and your partner is reading the newspaper, and they do something like say, "Huh, that's interesting." Okay, so that moment of them saying, "Huh," out loud is an emotional bid for your attention. And there are four ways to respond to this. There's passive destructive, where you ignore them or change the subject. There's active destructive, where you criticize them or instill fear and doubt in them. So there's passive constructive, where you just kind of say, "Okay, that's nice, honey," but you don't feed them, you don't engage with them. And there's active constructive, where you stop what you're doing, you turn towards your partner, and you engage in that emotional bid. So let's role play these with a newspaper moment. So you're going to be the newspaper reader.
Okay.
I wish we had a newspaper for some sound effects. So we don't really have a old school newspaper, but... Okay. Bringing sound effects in. High production value here, folks. Okay. So I'm going to do the four different behaviors after Charlotte says, "Huh, that's interesting."
"Huh, that's interesting."
I'm reading here, honey.
So that is passive destructive.
Yeah.
Sad.
Okay.
Okay. That's interesting.
"Can you stop rustling your newspaper? You always make so much noise. I'm trying to read here."
"Oh." Okay. "That's interesting."
"Oh, I'm glad you like what you're reading."
"You're good at this role-playing thing." passive constructive, that was. Okay. That's interesting.
What are you reading? What did you find interesting?
Active constructive.
Okay, so that was a little bit silly, but you can tell how these different behaviors would create different cultures in a relationship when repeated over time.
Yes.
And think about it on the next level of emotional bid. If you come home from work and you're feeling excited about something, right? And you come in and you're like, honey, how was your day? I've got big news to tell you. The difference between an active destructive of like, oh, my day was terrible. What's your big news? I mean, you've got nothing to say, your shitty job, right? Versus, wow, tell me more. What happened? I'm so excited for you. Like, the difference between how we respond to one another's emotional bids, that is what creates what we call the culture of your relationship. How you treat one another, what you expect from one another, how you feel in one another's reflection. And so I like to think that by nature of being a listener of this podcast, most of us are not in the active destructive mode very often. I hope that you are not cruel and gaslighting your partner and emotionally abusive to your partner. I'm hoping that that is not the standard for most of us. But we are all capable of these behaviors in different moments. And having this language, having this framework, for me has been really useful to get a little personal here, especially in this past few years when I've been sick and dealing with chronic pain. There have been moments where Charlotte reacted to something I said, and I was like, that was really hurtful. Why would you say that to me? I was like, what? Like, I didn't mean to be mean. But I realize in those moments, if something is really hurting in my body, if I'm managing a lot of pain, or if I feel like I'm under a lot of stress, sometimes I can lash out and do these passive destructive or active destructive behaviors without intending to. And we have a relationship where, partly because we run this business together and we have to walk the walk together, we call one another out in these moments so they don't add up to long-term behaviors. And we try to nip it in the bud, I think is the term. And we hold one another accountable because our baseline is an emotionally generous, loving relationship. And Charlotte is especially good at holding me accountable to this. That's what she expects. That's what she requires. And that's how we try to live. And from that place, that's where our eroticism can grow together. From a place of feeling loved and safe and cared for. And when my behavior, I'm going to just own this because you're an angel, really. But when my behavior starts derailing that, that's when I reach out to massage you and you pull away.
Mm.
You're like, fuck off. No, you were mean to me today. And I need to rebuild. I need to do the work of regaining your trust and your desire to be touched by me.
Yeah, and it's really uncomfortable to have those conversations where you are calling somebody out for not behaving that well or not treating you that kindly. It's totally uncomfortable, but I think it's worth it in the long term because you got to steer that boat in another direction for a long-term happiness.
Right, there's a piece of inertia here.
Yeah.
Where if you just are mean to your partner because of stress or pain or whatever it is, and then your partner snaps back and then you feel hurt, then that cycle continues, where it takes deliberate effort to change that cycle, to change the direction and be kind to one another. And then that can create a positive feedback loop.
Yeah, we've been talking about this a lot in terms of the practical details of life, of taking care of each other. But there's also this emotional generosity when you're in the midst of an uncomfortable conversation or an argument mm-hmm. where you're choosing to be generous with their intentions or not making them, choosing to let go of making them wrong, and being really committed to being right and choosing this bigger, choosing to want to be connected instead of, there's that word again, instead of being right. And it's so uncomfortable sometimes to let go of being right. We all want to be right all the time.
So you're talking about the practice of emotional generosity during a fight or a disagreement or a stressful time.
Yes.
And during these moments, we can fall into thinking of our partner as the adversary.
The enemy. Yeah.
And this kind of war dynamic happens.
Yeah.
Well, you said this, but then you said this, and da-da-da-da-da, and it starts getting into a fight against one another.
Right.
When you have to find a way to return to this place of, we're actually a team.
Right.
My happiness is inextricably linked with your happiness. And how do we get to a place where we can work on this issue from a unified front?
Right.
Your partner is your ally, not your adversary. And it takes some effort to remember that in some moments. And people have to navigate this in different ways. And we should probably do a whole episode on how to fight well.
Yeah, we should. We should.
But I think your point is really a good one, that emotional generosity is easy on the good days when you're feeling happy and sunny about life and you can share the good times together. That's really important, to really actively share the positive moments together and let that feed your relationship. But what about the hardest times? What do we do then? So we will follow up with a whole episode on that.
Can I share the story of our daughter recently?
Sure.
So we were having a silly argument about nothing, as you may know from long-term relationships, where it was really a silly disagreement that wasn't really that important, but we were having kind of some irritated...
I think it was about, like, buttering toast or something, like, really
we
petty.
We were sharing irritated words, and we were kind of then getting into explaining our perspectives to each other at some point, and it was sort
of... But you did this. Why did you do that way? That was stupid. Like, that kind of... Yeah.
Was that active destructive?
Yes.
And at some point, we're at the dinner table, and at some point our toddler looks at us and says, "Parents, have you said sorry to each other?" And we were like, no, actually. And that's very good marital advice. Thank you.
Our wise 3-year-old.
And so we said sorry to each other, and that certainly helped. As did laughing at her excellent
Bringing humor
advice.
Into it. Another thing we've done in the past is if we get into this stupid gridlock fight, one of us will leave the room and either come back a little bit more naked.
We did that more when we had... We don't do that as much with kids.
Yeah, that's right. We lost that strategy.
Yeah.
Or we put on, like, swimming goggles and come in, or with a silly hat, and just interrupt the fight with humor.
Yeah, that was really effective. We should bring that back.
Yeah, so we can both take a moment... We haven't been fighting very much
recently.
Yeah,
that's true.
It's been really nice.
Yeah.
Take a moment, breathe, laugh, and then be like, what were we fighting about? What is the underlying issue?
Does it matter?
Right. Who can let go of being right or being vindicated in this moment? And how do we move forward and back into that positive feedback loop of generosity?
Not to say that there aren't things to have solutions around. Like, we don't want to say that you're covering up emotional issues, but you're interrupting a useless flow and dynamic. But you can. It's important to talk.
Well, it's not a flow. It's a gridlock.
You're right.
It's a confrontation that blocks the flow.
Okay.
And I think we're going to have to table this into another conversation about fighting and resolving conflict within an erotic relationship.
Okay.
So look forward to that, probably in the new year, I think. But what we want to leave you with here is this idea of emotional generosity. And if you think about yourself as an innately generous person, and that you can be generous with your emotions. It's the easiest thing to be generous with.
Mm.
It's easier to be generous with your emotions than with money, which is a fixed resource, perhaps. It's easier to be generous with your emotions than with time. Generosity from your emotions is an endless well. You can have endless amounts of kindness and paying attention. And I was reminded of just last night, I was at my co-working space and we were having a meeting and one of my coworkers was really hurting. And I could have used that time to work on my goals and work as we were intended to at these meetings. But instead I took that time and sat down with her and gave her my attention, breathed with her, and really just went into that moment with her. And I would like to think it helped. Right? I was giving of myself and of my emotional love. And most people find when they give more love, they realize how much is there to give. Mm. And it makes you feel better about yourself. It makes your partner feel better about you. You can start being emotionally generous out in the world. And I think a lot of us are kind of closed in nowadays. We're feeling scared. We're feeling the chaos of the world around us. And it's a beautiful invitation to start being more emotionally generous, starting at home with your partner, probably starting with yourself. And that's another thing I noticed with my coworker is I was saying things to her that I should probably be saying to myself more often. Mm. And catching her saying things about herself that were so cruel, she would never say that to a friend. Mm. Right? So how do we be more emotionally generous with ourselves, with our partner, with our children, with our families, with our communities? And what might be the ripple effect if we all took on this practice? Something to think about as we're going into the holiday season. And this isn't an artificial, like, hey, Merry Christmas, have a happy holiday, meh. Like, I just want to get out of this store. It's really slowing down, and that's where the empathy piece comes in. Tuning in to what someone else is feeling and either celebrating their joy with them or recognizing that they're hurting and not letting them be alone in their hurt. Holding their hand and not trying to fix it, but being there with them and saying, I will hurt with you in this moment. You are not alone. Because isolation and loneliness is really the pandemic of our time, and that can start at home. And if you are more emotionally generous with your partner and remind them that by nature of being in a relationship together, they are not alone in their hurt and they are not alone in their joy. But you are together experiencing all of that and being generous with one another, with your attention, with your time. That is a really beautiful place to build a foundation upon which you can add the layers of eroticism and sexuality and full body, multiple orgasm bliss that we also like to talk about on this show. But this is where it starts. So we hope this conversation has been useful for you. We like to think that our beautiful listeners of this podcast are already very emotionally generous people. But I know even for myself, this was a good reminder to double down on those efforts and to remember that this is a renewable resource. And it feels much better to walk around in the world being emotionally generous and open-hearted and paying attention to the people that I love. And giving them that generosity from the deepest part of me that appreciates their presence in my life. And bring this into your relationships. Let us know how it goes. We'd love to hear from you. Come on over to pleasuremechanics.com. Drop us a line. Explore the podcast archive. Be sure to get on the free course, Erotic Essentials, where we share more of our favorite strategies for relationships and for sex. We do it all. And if you are ready to enroll in one of our erotic mastery courses, we have a holiday sale going on now. Use the code GIFT for 33% off the online course of your choice. That's GIFT, G-I-F-T. I had to think about that one. G-I-F-T. GIFT for 33% off at pleasuremechanics.com. Explore our online courses. Give them as a generous gift to your partner for the holidays or for yourself so you can feel more sexually confident going into 2018, baby. Mm-hmm. It's coming. All right. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We are the Pleasure Mechanics.
Wishing you a lifetime of pleasure.